4. The big battle plane lanced through the skies over the Atlantic. It was a type used for company marines and had seats for 50 cyclos, with space and lift capacity for tons of weaponry and gear. Johnny, in the pilot's seat, flew easily and relaxed, flying with his left hand straight on course. Big as the plane was, they had had trouble keeping it from getting overloaded. It was all secret and would remain so. There would be no leaks. But friends and a small amount of activity attracted attention to them. Donald Dean had shown up with 5 Scots, just happened by that day, from their regular run to Scotland. Colonel Ivan, whose total force was about 80 valiant Red Army Cossacks, had to be persuaded to leave half of them taking care of the base. Angus, just an hour before departure from the heliport, had casually plunked about 100 pounds of tools into the back and quietly sat down, uninvited. A rather fearful stack of weapons and explosives had magically appeared in the hands of 4 of the original Scots led by Dwight. Dr. McKendrick seemed to have brought anything he thought he ever might need in any practice. There had been a bit of a flap just before takeoff. Patty, it seemed, had found the true love of her life in Biddy McLeod, and they wouldn't have known Biddy was also aboard, except that Patty came rushing down the stairs to the heliport to kiss him a childishly tearful goodbye. Chrissy had said nothing, feeling bad. But suddenly an old woman had come up with Chrissy's possessions and taken her in tow, and it turned out Robert the Fox was putting them on a regular run to Scotland. His family wanted to meet Chrissy, he explained. And then Patty had to be packed up and sent with them. Then they were just closing the door when they had to open it again to take in Robert the Fox, complete with cloak and claymore. Then, just as they were passing the eastern coast of what had been the United States, 2 battle planes had shown up, and it turned out to be Glen Cannon and 3 other pilots.
"Just finished with our regular ferrying runs. And where are you going? We have enough ammunition and fuel."
On the local command radio channel. They also had a coordinator who was an expert on Africa and spoke French. It was not, Robert the Fox said reprovingly in Johnny's ear, walking up the wide aisle from the back, the best planned raid he had ever participated in. And where was Johnny going? The coordinator was a young lad called David Fox. He had recovered from having a Russian drag him out of bed before dawn, jumble his possessions into a bundle, and his reference books into a pack, and spirit him to the plane. Sitting with the co-pilot and next to Johnny, the coordinator was babbling away happily.
"We have an operation going in that part of Africa. I think it used to be called the Rainforest. So, if this is all hush-hush, you better stay clear of the Federation unit operating there. We didn't know there was a mine site up north of there."
"You're lucky you didn't get your heads blown off," said Robert the Fox, leaning over the back of the co-pilot seat.
"Well, you see," said David Fox, "we're not really a war unit. We don't operate like that. This is the first time we've felt a need for such hardware, as you raiders call it."
"You mean you were going to fight cyclos?" said Sir Robert.
"Oh, no, no," was the quick response. "The Brigantes? Usually tribes are so happy to see us, they're delirious, but..."
"What's a Brigante?" said Robert the Fox.
This certainly wasn't a well-researched, well-planned raid. He didn't even know their target or purpose. Well, it turned out that the Brigantes, as they called themselves, were a pretty strange lot. A coordinator had been dropped into a ruined city in that area to see whether anybody was alive, and he'd almost gotten blown to bits with a grenade.
"Grenade?" said Robert the Fox. "Cyclos don't use grenades."
Well, they knew that. This was a powder grenade. Smoking powder, bright orange flash. And then the coordinator was about to do battle with a club while bellowing into his radio for help, when a very old man crawled out of a wrecked basement and apologized in French. He was a very tattered old man, on his last pins. He'd been left to die by his squad because he was old now and couldn't keep up. Turned out he called himself a Brigante. He thought the coordinator was a cyclo at first glimpse. Then he saw he was human, and now thought the coordinator was part of a relief team sent by the bank.
The what?
From both Thor and Sir Robert. Well, seems like they had some kind of legend that they would be relieved by somebody, and they'd held on to it for over 1,000 years. Incredible they could keep a tradition going that long.
What exactly,
demanded Sir Robert, liking his information a little more crisp, is a Brigante?
Well, that's what's making it so hard to really get in solid contact with them. And right this minute, they have 3 coordinators in there in hopes of doing that. Oh, what's a Brigante? Well, it seems like at the time of the disaster, this is all according to this abandoned old man, of course, not confirmed. Some big international bank wanted to overthrow one of those African countries that had gotten its freedom from some people called colonialists. And then it borrowed a lot of money and had a military coup and wouldn't pay the bank back or something like that. What's a Brigante? Well, I'm telling you. So this international bank collected up a lot of what they called mercenaries, soldiers for hire, and put together 1,000-man unit, and they were going to use nerve gas and wipe out this government, and all these mercenaries were equipped with gas masks, like our air masks, only they filter outside air. Yes, I'm getting to it. These were also called soldiers of fortune in ancient times. So they were just about to make their attack on the government of this new country, and were lying out in some mines in the desert, old salt mines, and the cyclones hit the planet. Well, they had these gas masks.
Salt, said Johnny, neutralizes cyclo gas.
Oh, well, fine. So anyway, there they were in Africa, fully armed and ready to go, and their target was wiped out for them. A mixed-up lot. Belgians, French, Senegalese, English, American, all nationalities, anybody the bank could hire. But a full-skilled military unit. They didn't have any other name, so sometime then or later, they started calling themselves Brigantes.
Why, thank you at last, said Robert the Fox.
Wait, that isn't all of it. The natives in that area were mostly dead from the kill gas, so this unit drifted south. The tall trees and jungles seem to have kept them masked from observation, from recons and so on. They picked up women from missions and villages, white and black, and kept going. And that isn't all. This is why they are so hard to contact. After a couple of 100 years, they got into a working arrangement with the cyclos. First you've heard of that? Well, us too. And it makes them edgy. Apparently, what they used to do was capture people and deliver them to the cyclos to shoot or torture or something. They never really went too close to the cyclos, but the cyclos couldn't operate in those swamps. Bodies too heavy to walk, ground too soggy for tanks, trees too tall to fly into. So these Brigantes somehow got into a working arrangement. They'd tie up some people and leave them near a compound, and the cyclos would come out and take the people for whatever.
Torture, said Johnny. They enjoy it.
And the cyclos would leave some knick-knacks, like cloth or something on a log. A kind of trading arrangement. Well, all that was centuries ago, and they ran out of people. But the cyclos never hunted them down. Swampy ground, tall trees, and so on, like I told you.
Sounds like pretty crazy people for unarmed coordinators to be fooling around with, said Robert the Fox.
Well, not really. We're pretty good on diplomacy and so on. But we got this order from the council just a few days ago to be sure and contact them and bring them in, and we are just doing our job. To tell the truth, the Brigantes are a bit strange. They keep their numbers down to 1,000 men, leave their old ones to die, don't marry, but just use women. They seem to have a high mortality rate among children. Also, probably from hunting elephants with grenades. Oh, well, yes, the grenades. They know how to make crude black powder. You know, charcoal and saltpeter from dung heaps and sulfur from a mine. And they put it into a baked clay receptacle that is studded with stones and stick a fuse in it and light it with a cigar. They have to get right up to an elephant to use one, and I suppose that's part of the reason for the mortality rate.